Welcome to another message from Bridge Assembly, located at 725 Granite Avenue in Helena, Montana. For more information on Bridge, go to our website at bridgehelena.com. It is our prayer that this message will help you to connect with God, connect with others, and connect others with God.
Amen. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. Jesus is the name that allows the walls to come down. So many of us walk around with so many walls put up around our lives, around our hearts. And by the name of Jesus, those walls can come down. And we can start living the way we were created to live. Father, thank you so much. Thank you so much that you sent your Son for us. And Lord God, it is through your Son that those walls can come down. Lord, it's hard having walls up. It takes so much effort when we have those walls up. But you have such a better way for each one of us. Lord, there truly is honey in the rock. And you are the rock of our salvation, Lord God. Everything that we need, you provide. You nourish us. Lord God, help us to stop kicking against the goads. Help us stop putting walls up and just to surrender to you and to your goodness. So Jesus, today in this service, be glorified in all that we do, in everything that is spoken. Help us to worship you in spirit and in truth, and help us to love on each other, edifying one another, being an open place for anybody to walk in and receive the love that only you can give. Lord God, if that's through us, Lord, help us to excel at that and be great at that. Jesus, we exalt you. Today we lift up Tim and Melissa Kern, missionaries at Notre Dame, Lord God. We lift up Little Hope, who's back in the hospital, Lord God. As a church, we pray that Holy Spirit, you touch her life. Lord God, give mom and dad peace, Lord God. Give them understanding. But Lord God, let there be a witness and a testimony to your greatness through that little girl with such a great name, Hope. Lord God, today for each one of us, Lord God, we come with expectancy. Lord God, help us to expect something great, because Lord God, you're going to do something great. I don't know what it is, but I know you will do something great in this service. We pray this in the mighty and powerful name of our King, our Lord, and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And everyone shout it out. Amen. You guys can be seated. Amen. All right. Good stuff. Did you like those new songs? It's pretty good, right? I like them both. Kids, I'll just dismiss you right now. Kids, you guys go ahead and be dismissed. Run on down and learn and have fun and don't be too good. No, I didn't say that. Be good. All right, adults, I got you guys up here. We're going to run through announcements somewhat quick. We have so much going on. September is like the busiest month of the year, it seems like. But we have a ton going on. To start out with, we have 24-hour prayer coming up. 24-hour prayer is September 16th and 17th. It goes from 7 p.m. to 7 p.m. Those of you who are newer here and don't really know what I'm talking about, 24-hour prayer is we sign up for our blocks, right? There's blocks, and we need to sign up for those. Amy has the clipboard. She is going to pass that around right now. Start on this side. It always starts on that side. There are openings. Please sign up for those openings. And then when you sign up for that block, say it's 3 p.m. to 4 p.m., you show up at 3 o'clock, and the person who was in here praying will let you in, and then you come in and pray when they leave. And then when 4 o'clock comes, you go to the door and you let that person in. We keep the front doors locked, so when you're in here praying alone or in small groups, people don't just walk in on you. So it's a safety thing, but it's also just a way to help you understand, hey, I'm in here by myself. It's okay. Interestingly enough, and this is how it's always been, you'll see on the sheets that the night fills up, right? Throughout the night fills up. It's Saturday during daylight hours that tends to not fill up so fast. So please sign up for a couple slots if you want, however the Lord leads you, but that's kind of how it works. If you've never participated in this before, try it out. It's amazing. We will have a prayer emphasis. I'll have that for you guys here. We'll have a couple whiteboards up where you can write down what the Lord is leading, if it's a scripture, if it's just a saying or whatever, and then Sunday morning we'll have those out in the foyer. You guys can walk by and read that. But it's a powerful time, and I always love the Sunday morning after 24-hour prayer. It's just something different. It is awesome. So that's going to go around. Make sure it gets all the way around, and then let it go around again. Let's just make sure those are filled up. I have the very last slot. I have from 6 to 7 on Saturday, and I would like to invite anybody who wants to come back and make that a community prayer time. But I will be here in those hours for sure. All right, that's the 16th and 17th, and then on the 19th, is the men's ministry kickoff barbecue. It is at 6 p.m. Guys, turn out for that. You'll learn kind of where men's ministry is going. There's a name change. There's all sorts of things. That will be in the office complex that is right over there on the property. It's the house sitting there that is currently a yellowish, tannish color. But it's not going to stay a yellowish, tannish color, because on Tuesday the 20th, the day after, we're having a paint day, a church paint day, and we're going to make that building the same color as this building. And everyone said amen to that. So 9 o'clock, show up, paint day. We have all the paint, we have all the brushes, we'll have all the ladders, everything. Man, if we just get a couple people, 3-4 people on each side, we'll knock that out easy. We painted this last year and it didn't take that long. Some of you guys who we're actually painting are like, what are you talking about, Pastor? It took long. It didn't take that long. A lot of people, painting makes it go by super fast. So please, if you can, show up for that. If for some reason the weather rolls in and it's terrible weather, we will do it on this following Saturday, same time, same place. And then, of course, last Sunday, the last Sunday of the month, it's the 25th. Potluck, and then for this one, we will be having the movie afterwards, the C.S. Lewis movie, The Most Reluctant Convert, I think it's called. But that's the last Sunday, the 25th. Bring something to share, bring a main dish drink, bring a dessert. We're just going to fellowship together. We love it. It's so much fun. And then for those of you who want to stay and see that movie, we'll come up here and do that. Women's ministry will be kicking off as well. Tamara, get her attention. Pay attention, Georgia. You're up. Come on up. Oh, I don't have a microphone for you. Use this one. There you go.
Hello? I feel like a broken record. I think I do this every...
Hello? There you go.
Hello? I feel like a broken record. I think I do this every fall, but I just have a heart for the connection of women. And I'll plug them in too. You're starting Monday night the 19th. If you're coming in and don't feel 100% connected, small groups are the answer. I'm telling you guys that when you really sit down eye to eye, heart to heart, and talk, and the men can do this too. It's about food, but you guys can do that too. But so there.
Talk with your mouth full. Is that what you're saying?
Blah, blah, blah. So Tuesday, you have two opportunities. There's an afternoon at Carol Shope's. It's in the bulletin. And in the evening. And it's just connection. It just, you'll be amazed at what you learn about each other, about yourself, about Jesus. I just really encourage you. And if you can let me know that you're planning to come, or through the app, you can sign up. But it's connection, you guys. It really is.
And tomorrow's Lady Lunch. Hey, we have some just truly amazing people in this church. And if you just come on Sundays and sit forward and stare at me, you don't get to meet those truly amazing people. But through small groups, you get to, I mean, I have been so blessed the last 6 years to get to know some of you guys. And it's just like, my life is better because I know a lot of you guys, and that happens in small groups, right? That happens at meal time. That happens at times of fellowship, last Sundays where we can get together. It's truly amazing. The church, it's all about connection, right? God wants us to connect with one another. So let's connect with one another. And then finally, oh, I shouldn't have put that mic up. Tamara, who loves to just get up here and talk. She's like, well, if Georgie's going to get up and talk, well, then I need to as well. She's going to talk about Bridge Builders and the little event we had last Friday. Got your tail?
Yeah. Hello. So last Friday, we had an amazing night of watching a movie, and there were a lot of people here and a lot of faces that I'd never seen before, so that was awesome. And so I just wanted to say thank you to those who helped, the Rabines, Blair for cooking, and Ephraim who helped with the cooking, and Amy for doing the popcorn, because she likes to do popcorn, and she does a really good job, and she doesn't burn it, which is important. and then the cleanup, the people who helped clean up, Teresa, Doyle, Craig, Andy, and then Jamie's kids, Lexi and Ashley, who helped with the concession. So we had a great turnout. We had a lot of fun. The movie was great. Also wanted to put a bug in your ear for next month's, which is the corn maze. So I'll let you know the details soon to come.
Always a good time. Once again, time for connection. I've said it before, if you can't connect in this church, man, there's not something wrong with the church. There's something wrong with you. Right. Truth from the pulpit always. One last thing I want to mention is the Wednesday night classes, kids, youth. I don't go to kids, but I know there's good stuff down there. I don't go to youth, but I know there's good stuff there. I do go to the adult class, and I got to say, this adult class is so good. It's blowing my mind how good it is. So show up to that. It's really this retired police detective, and he is presenting Jesus as a cold case. So he's going back, and this is how he came to Jesus. He was an atheist until he's like, man, I'm going to treat Jesus, this Jesus person, like a cold case. And he researched it, and that led him to the Lord. But what he is doing in this class is it's the weirdest class, because he's paralleling the cold case of Jesus with an actual cold case murder that he was involved in, and kind of the trail of evidence and things like that. It is so, so good, and it's being taught by Dave, who is former law enforcement, so Dave's mixing in some of his stuff. If you didn't, we had a full house Wednesday, but man, if you can get here, get here. It is so, so good, so I can't promote this class enough. I think you guys would have fun. It's challenging. It's like, ooh, it's a mystery. Let's all solve the mystery. I got home and I told Amy, I said, you know some of those detective shows like Blue Bloods that we watch? That ain't real. That's not how they really do it. This guy's going in and really showing how you would treat a cold case. It's so, so good. So please attend that. And then four ways to give, right? Always. We don't pass a plate here. We just leave that up to you. There's giving boxes on the back wall. You can give online at bridgehelena.com. You can text to give to 84321. You can mail it. If you don't have our church app, grab the church app. John can help you download that and get you started on that. But that has everything. That has a portal to giving. You can get to messages, you can get to announcements, you can get to calendar, you can get to all sorts of things. So please grab that if you don't have that. God loves a cheerful giver, which brings me to this little thing that somebody had the idea of and just said, hey, what if the church started a food bank? And we kind of ran with that, and we now have, it's called Bridge the Gap. It's a food bank. It just started. The room is ready. There's a box out there, as you can see, and it's starting to fill up. But we need to fill the pantry up. And it was funny because I was doing all sorts of stuff this week, and I had to be in this building instead of the office. And I was loading a table and all this, and a couple pulls up. And I'm like, well, that's strange. I don't see them throughout the week that often, but here they are. I wonder, oh gosh, what do they need? Is there something? Is there tragedy? Are they, you know, what's going on? Because as a pastor, sometimes you think that way. We all think that way. Oh, it's bad, right? But it wasn't bad. It was amazing. So they showed up with a truckload of food. This all came from one family, I guess. It's pretty amazing, isn't it? Do I get to mention the name? No, we don't need to mention the name, but I will say this. You guys will know. They came in and they were so stinking excited. They were so excited to be able to do this. And they said, yesterday was our anniversary. And we talked about what we were going to do on our anniversary. And we decided that, well, we're just going to go to Winco and we'll each take $250 and have a contest to see who can buy the most food. Well, they were so excited when we were unloading. And, well, I'll tell you, it's Don and Robin, and Don's arm's all messed up. So here we are. Robin and I are trying to unload, and Don's carrying like Rice Krispies and things like that. But we got it all unloaded, and we're so new, we don't have it organized yet. But they just said, man, we had more fun doing this than we could have doing anything else. Because it's nice to give, it's fun to give. So I just wanted to tell you guys that, man, sometimes giving is where the excitement is. And we're going to fill this food bank, and on the app, you can get on the app if you're in need. If you're like, hey, times are tough right now, the month is pretty hard, you just fill out the app and we'll fill you a box. We need to know how many are in the family, food allergies and stuff, but that's what it's for. It's a food bank. We give, and then sometimes we need to receive, and sometimes we need to receive, but then at other times we're able to give. So let's continue to fill that. With the economy the way it is, things are tough, right? And we want to be a church that can take care of its own, for sure. Amen? Oh, Robin. It was... I don't think it was even close. And Don even admitted to me, he's like, well, I was just following her around getting what she was getting. And it's like, and he still lost. I don't understand. We have special music this morning. Charmaine, come on up.
You may not be applauding after this one. I was out chasing sheep this morning. That's not good for someone my age. Got a family about a quarter of a mile from me, and the daughter has 4-H sheep. And I woke up this morning, did my usual routine, and I looked out my bedroom window, and there they were. And they had their little coats on and their little leg wraps, you know. And so I called them right away, and they didn't get up there right away. So I was out there trying to herd them so they wouldn't go up and over the back hill to the other side. So anyways, I was out doing my thing. Thank you, Lord. Anyways, in Matthew, Mark, and John, we find the beautiful moment where a woman poured out her most precious, valuable treasure on Jesus. And it made a fragrant anointing oil, a form of prophetic worship. I heard a pastor talk about this, and he said, before Jesus went to the cross, and the pouring of the oil was like a prophetic worship that she had done. Her love for Jesus was expressed in her willingness to be broken and spilled out in service to her Lord. Am I? She had been set free from the shackles of sin that bound her, becoming a new, fragrant vessel of use for her King. It is true of each one of us. When we, you and me, are broken and spilled out for love of our Jesus, we are a lovely fragrance to Him and a useful vessel. Yes? Thank you, Carl. It's on.
One day a place. Village woman
poured out a valuable essence, disregarding the scorn. And once it was broken and spilled out, the fragrance filled all the room. Like a prisoner released from his shackles, like a spirit set free from the tomb, broken and spilled out, just for love of you, Jesus, my most precious treasure, my life. I lavish on thee. Broken and spilled out, and poured at your feet. His loved and his own perfect son, sent here to show me the love of my father, and just for love it was done. Though you were perfect and holy, you gave up yourself willingly, and you spared no expense for my pardon. You were used up and wasted for me, broken and spilled out, for love of me, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. God's most precious treasure was lavished on me.
Charmaine.
You guys ready to get rolling? Amen. I hope so, because I am. Let's pray. Father, thank you again that we gather here this morning, Lord God, to come before you in your presence, that you can expound your word to us. Lord God, we give you permission to challenge us this morning. Lord God, I give you permission to challenge me, and I hope each person in here will do the same. Holy Spirit, allow me to speak those things which you intend for me to speak, and shut my mouth with anything else. And like I always pray, Lord, I truly desire that nobody leaves here the same way that they came in. Lord God, we give you rule and reign. Lord God, help us not to fight against you, but Lord God, lead us to where you need us to be. We pray this in your name. And everyone said, amen. Thank you guys for being here this morning. I just want to start out by saying that sometimes a message comes along and it hits me square in the noggin. And this is one of those messages. So I have had to really wrestle with this message in a personal way this whole week. And there's so many things that pop up in my life where parts of this message have just been dropping on me. And it's like, oh, I guess I got to rethink things and maybe reevaluate things. So I want you to know that this morning, right now, I'm preaching to myself, right? This message is all for me. But because I want to be a good pastor, I would like to invite you guys to come along this morning with what I am dealing with and being challenged with. You good with that? All right. So last week, we really kicked off this series, It's Time to Acts, with the first principle. And the first principle being this: gathering together pushes and propels kingdom movement. I believe that. I believe that God desires the church to gather together. And within that, it's not just solely for us, though there's a very huge benefit for each one of us, right? You come to church and you're like, man, that was good. What I just said, this church, this message is for me today. But it's not just for me, it's for all of us, and it's for all of us to experience together. And when we gather together in different times and we exalt the name of Jesus, where two or three are gathered, he is there also. How can that not propel kingdom movement? Do you guys believe it? So let's keep moving forward, and that brings us to principle number two, the one we will focus on today. Principle two, the body must devote itself to the essentials of faith. Remember that word devote as we go through this. So the body must devote itself to the essentials of faith. The body being all of us, right? So when I speak of the body, really by default, I'm speaking to us individually. If you have your Bibles today, please turn with me to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 42. I'm going to read it, and then we're going to kind of go back and break this down. Acts 2, 42 through 47. They were continually and faithfully devoting themselves to the instruction of the apostles and to the fellowship, to eating meals together, and to prayers. A sense of awe was felt by everyone, and many wonders and signs attesting miracles were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed in Jesus as Savior were together and had all things in common, considering their possessions to belong to the group as a whole. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing the proceeds with all the other believers as anyone had need. Day after day they met in the temple area, continuing with one mind and breaking bread in various private homes. They were eating their meals together with joy and generous hearts, praising God continually and having favor with all the people. And the Lord kept adding to their numbers daily those who were being saved. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? You read that and it's like, man, I wanted to be involved with that. I want to go to that church. There's stuff going on. You see, this passage right here, this is very much a testimony about the early church. This is Luke writing, and it's him sharing his own observations of the state of the early church. You know, the president gets up there once a year and he does the State of the Union. This is how the union's doing. This is what's going on. And they always try to polish it and make themselves look good. Well, Luke here, he's just sharing it straight. He's just saying, these are my observations. These are what I am seeing happening in the early church. So today, really, we're going to hit on the first two expectations that we laid out. Do you remember what those two expectations were? We gave five expectations. Here they are. Here's all five of the expectations. I'm just going to read the first two because that's really what we're going to be challenged with today. Expectation number one, to grow in your faith. That's what my prayer is that each one of us can grow in our faith. Expectation number two, to begin to look at the church with a greater producer mindset and less of a consumer viewpoint. So if you want to run through the rest of those expectations, feel free, but really it's those first two that we hit on today. We're also going to dig back into the questions that we've been asking, those questions we need to continually ask. And those questions are, what was the attitude of the early church, those early believers, those people that were involved in the early church movement? And then also, what is the attitude of the modern church being each one of us here today? So let's break things down. And let's start with the main focus of this passage, really, and today's message, and that's verse 42. Verse 42, again, it said this, they were continually and faithfully devoting themselves to the instruction of the apostles and to fellowship, to eating meals together and to prayers. Pretty good things to devote yourself to, if you ask me. See, right here, we see a distinct and fundamental characteristic of the early church, and that being devotion. Devotion is an important part of any church. The early church, it was a main part. In fact, the early church was distinguished, or they were known in their community by their devotion. Now, that can have a positive connotation. That could also have a negative connotation. But the early church, they were so devoted, they were known by that devotion. And isn't that what we say all the time as Christians? Oh, we should be known as followers of Christ, right? We ought to be, when we walk out in the community, people should just know that we are Christians, that we are followers of Christ, that we are born again. They should be known by our actions and not only our words. See, the early church actually lived this out. I'm not saying that we don't live it out. I don't know how you live it out or you don't live it out. What I do know is the early church actually lived this out. What people saw was the early church's devotion, and there was a respect in that. Devotion to Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Devotion to instruction, which is preaching and teaching of the Word. They were devoted to that. Devotion to fellowship, which is the commitment to our brothers and our sisters in Christ. Devotion to eating meals together, which is the building of real and deep relationships. And there was a devotion to prayer, which is aligning your faith with Christ and the faith of the body. So this idea of devotion, it's a big one. Take a look here at what the Greek word used for devotion is. This is the Greek meaning. To be earnest toward, to persevere, to be constantly diligent, or to attend completely, or to adhere closely to, attend, give self continually upon, continue in, wait on, continually. Being devoted is a big thing. And within this definition, it runs right into something that we don't always like to link together with our Christianity. And that's discipline. devotion and discipline have to be tied together. See, I talk about having to make a choice in here all the time. I respect you guys enough. I don't just speak and expect you guys to do everything that's been spoken of. No, each one of you has a choice. I speak it, and then you take that, and you do with that what you choose. But it's a choice. But with every choice, there inherently comes the need for discipline. So what exactly is discipline? So let's get the definition of discipline so we're all on the same page. Discipline, control gained by enforcing obedience or order. Now, sometimes that can be over somebody else, but in the context of the day, that's ourselves. We need to gain control by enforcing obedience or order over ourselves, over our own minds. Orderly or prescribed conduct or a pattern of behavior. How do you like those next words? Self-control. Discipline is self-control. Within the faithful followers of Christ in the early church, verse 42 says that they were devoted, and they were devoted with a devotion that required their personal self-discipline. Then that compelled them to attend the gatherings, right? To listen to the teachings and the instructions of the apostles, to the fellowship, to eating together, and to prayer. It's scriptural that we have potlucks. It says so right there. It's scriptural that we get together and we eat. But there's a whole lot to that, right? Because nobody just gets together to just eat. We get together for fellowship. We get together, and hopefully times of prayer come out of that. There's an importance of fellowship. There's an importance of teaching, expanding the word, listening to that and being challenged by that. See, those in the early church had a pattern of behavior that was disciplined and it was intentional. How might that look in our modern day churches and our modern day faith? Well, it would look like coming to church on a regular basis with an expectancy, right? Not just dragging in here because you feel like you have to, not just coming because it's repetitive, but actually being excited to come and coming in with an expectancy. It would look like worshiping together in fellowship with our brothers and our sisters. See, there's some days during worship here that you guys drowned out the mains, right? You guys are worshiping so loud that I can't even hear the main speakers, and I love it. And that's how it should look. That's what church and worship should look like. It would look like listening to, digging in, and applying the word and the message that's spoken here on a Sunday morning, as well as what you are doing on your own time, reading the Bible and things like that. It would look like intentionally building relationships, because relationships aren't just built. You have to be intentional about that. And it would look like elevating prayer to the position God intends it to be in our life. Did you know God intends prayer to be like, oh man, it's right up there at the top. It's right, but we don't always treat it that way, do we? And I struggle with that as well. I'm telling you, this message is for me. Sometimes I get so focused on doing the ministry, I forget to pray. And if a pastor can do that, I'm thinking probably everyone else is doing that as well. So sometimes I have to say, you know, I got to put the ministry on the back burner. And I got to pull back, and I just got to pray. And I got to pray with people. I so love the few minutes, the 10 minutes before service where I can gather with people at 9:30 in the morning, and we go into the nursery and we pray for the service. That is so good. That changes everything. See, the early church chose to do these things, but they also looked at their devotion as something that was necessary. See, flip that slide. Devotion through discipline allows us to stand against the constant current of this world that's trying to erode our faith. They understood it. They understood that if they didn't gather together and stand together in unity, that their faith was going to be taken from them. They were persecuted anyway, but together they could stand strong. It's the same with us. We have a world out there that's trying to erode our faith. We have to have the devotion and the discipline to stand against that constant barrage of what people are telling us, about what the world is telling us, about how the enemy is trying to come against us. Now, the enemy of our devotion, you know what that is? It's simple. It's distraction. The enemy of our devotion is distraction. And let me tell you what. There's a lot of distraction today. See, because of the internet and because of social media, we live in a TikTok and a YouTube culture. I could say young people today, but I won't, because it's all people today. All people are being conditioned to have short attention spans. And it's like every week our attention spans are expected to get shorter. My goodness, why does a Hot Pocket take 2 minutes to cook in a microwave? Can't with technology, can't they make that 2 seconds, at least 20 seconds? Why does it have to take so long? 2 minutes is a long time when your attention span has shrunk that far. How many people in here just woke up when I talked about attention span? Oh, wait! Wait, I tuned out. Gosh, got through worship. I thought I was doing good. And we got to have that attention span that's far different than what culture is dictating to us today. Did you know that the average TikTok video is 21 to 34 seconds long? 21 to 34 seconds. That's what's conditioning us. And then it's on to something else. Oh, well, I saw that video. Now that I got to go to a different one. That one lost my attention because it actually lasted 40 seconds. That's way beyond my attention span. Keep moving. I got to keep moving. I need entertained. I can't wait. I need it now. But I need it now only for a few minutes max, because then I got to move on a little more. And the tragic thing is this culture has influenced and invaded the church. See, many church leaders have bought into this idea that in order to reach people, they need to dumb down the message and keep the entire time worship, announcements, giving, message to 45 minutes. You got to get people in and out because they can't sit there. They just can't sit there because it's all that they can handle. But I don't buy into that methodology. I don't, simply because I believe devotion and discipline should compel us to press more into Christ, not less. We should be pressing in more, harder. Bring it on, Jesus. What do you got for me? You got for me something Sunday, but what do you got for me Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday? And I signed up for 24-hour prayer last time I was here for an hour, but Lord, I feel like you're leading me to sign up for 2 hours. Do it. Don't do less. Can't we break that down into 15-minute slots? After all, Pastor, 1 hour is a long time to pray. It's a long time to pray until you actually engage in it. And then you realize 1 hour goes by so quickly. See, I also don't believe that I personally, I don't believe I was put in this position to tickle ears with a 15-minute easy talk on how great everything is. That's just not why I was brought here. That's not why God put me into ministry. See, we need to recapture what the early church practiced. That God's Word has so much depth. It is so beautiful. It has so much truth. We need to recapture that. We need to understand and recapture that community needs commitment. Community needs commitment. You guys have to commit in your lives if you want to have community in your lives. You guys have to understand that relationships require time. It takes time together to cultivate a relationship. And we need to understand that prayer takes persistence. Prayer takes persistence. With our short attention spans, we throw a 30-second prayer out there once, and we think God's just going to faithfully accept that and answer that. And sometimes He does. Sometimes He does. But sometimes God says, you know what? I so desperately want to answer this prayer that you have. But it's more than that prayer. It's the time that we spend together during that prayer. It's your persistence in that prayer. I need you to continue to pray for that. I need you to be that persistent widow that keeps asking and keeps asking. Yes, I'm going to answer that question, but we need time together. We need time to connect together. I truly believe that individually, but I also believe it as a church. See, all these things, the appreciation for the truth and the depth and the beauty of His Word, the idea of community needing commitment, relationships requiring time and prayer, needing persistence, all these things we seem to be losing. Why? It's choices and it's discipline. I'm going to tell you the truth, guys, because I've had to deal with this truth all week long. It's choices and it's self-discipline. See, the early church chose to discipline themselves. The early church chose to devote themselves. It's easy. It is so easy to waste hours. I'm talking hours binge-watching Netflix. It's so easy to waste hours scrolling through Facebook, stepping on toes. I hope so. It's so easy to waste hours playing things like Candy Crush. I have yet to find the link between Candy Crush and promoting the kingdom. I just don't see it. But there's so many ways to waste literally hours of the day on absolutely useless things. But then we make excuses about church, fellowship, relationships, time in the Word, and prayer. And then to top it off, we have the audacity to wonder why we don't see the same incredible things happening that the early church did. All this comes together for me in a monumental question that I don't want to have to ask myself. But God plopped it right in my lap. In fact, I was typing out the message, not even thinking about it. And all of a sudden, this question is typed before me that I have to reread. And I thought, I can't only reread this. I have to ask myself this, but I don't want to. I don't want to have to go down this track. I don't want to have to look at the answer. But I know I have to. And here's the question that I've had to ask myself all week long. For those in the early church, was their faith more important to them than my faith is to me? Let that sink in. See, that's a terrible question. That's a painful question. But that's a vital question. And that's the question I've had to wrestle with. But because I believe in you guys, and because I care about you guys, I am going to challenge you with this same question. But I want you to understand it's because I'm having to challenge myself with this question. Only through that challenge can I find truth for myself. So I have to ask myself with an open ear, an open heart, to the Holy Spirit, where is my devotion and where is my discipline? And it's not enough to simply ask the question, because I also must be open to the answers that I find in Scripture and that I find through prayer and that I find in the Holy Spirit. And I have to allow myself to hear those things, because when I ask the question, Father, Help me to understand where is my devotion and where is my discipline. You can bet that I don't have to be overly persistent in that question. Because that's a question he's been waiting for me to ask. And he is all too happy and joyful and excited to help me answer that question. And that's just verse 42. That is only verse 42. So let's run through the rest of these verses because they affirm what we have just seen. Take a look at verse 43. A sense of awe was felt by everyone. And many wonders and signs attesting miracles were taking place through the apostles. This is pretty straightforward here. It's straightforward, and as I read it, I'm excited for the early church, but when I reread this with the idea that the early church and the modern church should look a whole lot more similar, now I have to wrestle with this in a whole different way. How is your awe factor? How is your guys' awe factor? A sense of awe was felt by everyone. I mean, they were excited. They were ready to go. They woke up every morning, and I know what they all said. Every morning they woke up and said, man, what is God going to do today? What are we going to see today? And throughout the day, they had their eyes open, looking for opportunities to see the awe and wonder of God. And then they ended their day, man, when they went to lay their head on their pillow that night, man, they were recounting. Oh, man, look at what God did today. Some of y'all are living in the awe you felt 20 years ago. And that awe has faded because it's been so long. I'm telling you, the awe that you experienced last week, it's not enough. You should have an expectancy to feel that awe, that sense of awe every single day. So how is your awe factor? When we have an overall sense of awe toward Christ, we tend to see the beauty and power and wonders of God in our everyday life. See, when we discover that awe, it's not that God just starts to do things. God's been doing them all along. It's the awe factor that allows us to understand those things. So wake up tomorrow morning and just say, Lord, I want to stand in awe of you today. What do you have for me today? Awe comes from being in the presence of God. And awe also comes in being together with the body, worshiping our Most High God. It's amazing. Let's look at 44 and 45. This is a great passage. And all those who had believed in Jesus as Savior were together and had all things in common, considering their possessions to belong to the group as a whole. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing the proceeds with all the other believers as anyone had need. I need to be really clear here. Listen very closely. This is not an example of socialism. It is not. Socialism is where the government takes control of everything and they determine who gets what. You don't have a choice. They're going to take your cow and give it to somebody else. You don't have a choice in socialism. What this is an example of a group of people who all have their eyes upon Christ. See, each person here has personally come to the end of themselves and has chosen to place their reliance upon Christ. All things in common. And when we do that, when Jesus becomes our Lord and Savior, see, we begin to look at people and we look at things much differently than the world does, much differently than we used to do before Jesus was in our life. See, it says all those who believed in Jesus as their Savior were together and had all things in common. That is so good. That is so good. It's so good to have all things in common. And what all things are we talking about? Does that mean they all rooted for the same football team? Absolutely not. Because we have freedom in Christ there. What it means is all things in common. Their belief system and their structure was all in common. Their desire for all these things we just read in verse 42, it was in common. Nobody was having to twist arms. They were like, hey, the church is going to do this. Let's all line up. They didn't have to have somebody stand up front and try to get people to get involved and please, just, man, we need sound people. We need video people. We need Facebook people. We need guitar players and bass players. We need those things. Let me twist your arm. Let me twist your arm. Let me twist your... No, these people had all things in common. What they were good at, they said, take it. Let me use it for you. Property, money, food. It didn't matter. This is so good. It's idealistic, man. It's like, boy, I wish I could live in that. The first church lived in that. All the while being persecuted. All the while being hated. They had all things in common, and that allowed them to stick together. See, Christ brings us together, and now we have all things in common. Why? Why do we have all things in common? It's simple, because we are now all blood relatives. The blood of Jesus washes us all and flows through us all. Our characteristics and attributes are that of the Father. Before the early church, other people, brothers and sisters in Christ, were now more important than their stuff, right? What if we took that attitude and said, you know what, other people are more important than my stuff or my ideas or my desires? Oh, I was going to go help that person. Oh, but I had an opportunity to go camping. I had an opportunity to watch Netflix. I had an opportunity. So I chose that instead of that. Right? We need to have all things in common. Because when all things in common, we start to take care of each other. And it's a beautiful example from Jesus Christ himself. Let's look at 46 and 47. Day after day, they met in the temple area, continuing with one mind, right? They were in common, and breaking bread in various private homes. They were eating their meals together with joy and generous hearts, praising God continually and having favor with all the people. And the Lord kept adding to their numbers daily those who were being saved. Golly, how cool is that? See, what we see here is really an expanded view of what was happening in verse 42. This actually overflows from their Jewish heritage, right? These were predominantly Jewish believers who had now come to Christ. And within their heritage, meeting together was incredibly important. And a favorite place to meet was the outer courts of the temple called Solomon's Porch. Now remember, this is interesting, because remember that the Christians at that time, man, if you believed in Jesus, it was like, wait, you're different from us. And there was all that persecution from the Jews, right? Things hadn't exploded quite yet with the martyrdom of Stephen, but things were rolling, man. They were boiling. And these believers, they're like, well, we want to meet together and we want to talk about Jesus. And people are seeing our devotion and we're being known by our devotion. Where should we meet? I don't know. Let's go to the main temple of the Jewish faith with Pharisees and scribes and all the Jewish people. They didn't care. They didn't care. So they would meet in the temple court on Solomon's porch, and they would talk about Jesus, and they would pray together, and they would exhort, edify, all of those things. And through that devotion, people were noticing. And throughout the week, they were choosing to gather together with one mind. See, it wasn't just, hey, church on Sunday, I'll see them then. And then I'll see them next week on Sunday if they're there and if I'm there and if I don't have anything else to do. No, throughout the week they were choosing to gather together and they were choosing to have one mind. It's so easy to get lonely, isn't it? It's so easy to get separated. It's so easy to not have any brother or sister in Christ contact throughout the week. We have to be intentional in all this. And I think we can all understand that that one mind was the mind of Christ. And let me tell you, when we gather together and we have one mind, and that being the one mind of Christ, see, that's how the early church could gather together daily and not get sick of each other. Because without Christ, things will start annoying us, won't they? But with Christ, we can actually gather together and love gathering together. And not only that, it states here they were eating together in various homes with joy and generous hearts, continually praising God. And within all of this, something extraordinary was happening. Something truly extraordinary was happening. The Lord kept adding their numbers. People were getting saved. Here's what we need to get out of this. It is God. It is God who ultimately brings people to the point of salvation. There's no doubt about that. But it is us, through our devotion and our discipline, to choose to be the church, the body of believers. And when we come together in unity, in one accord, continually praising God, fellowshipping together, building real relationships, well then guess what? That's so attractive to a lonely, hopeless, empty world. It's attractive. Do people know what happens in church here at 725 Granite Avenue on a Sunday morning? Do people outside of the church actually know what happens? Probably not, because we're not vocal enough. But when they walk in those doors and they begin to experience it, they cannot deny that there's something different in here than out there in the world. It's contagious. And though they may not believe in Jesus yet, it just might be that something here draws them back. Oh man, open the doors, bring the unbelievers in. Let them sit here for a month. Let them sit here for 6 months. They're going to get loved on. They're going to build connection. And then you know what? They're going to come to Jesus, because they're going to realize, I want what they have instead of what the world is telling me. See, it's the early church mode. It's what they were doing. And we're seeing it happen here in Scripture, but why don't we see it happening here in real time? I believe that we could. But it has to start with us. It has to start here, and it has to start now in our devotion, in our choice to have discipline in our walk. Aren't you guys so glad that I'm allowing you to come along with this message that's all for me? This is all from all week long. I've been struggling with this. My devotion, my discipline, man, I can't enjoy Facebook right now. I love getting on Facebook and looking at fly tying ones and fly fishing stuff. And oh man, that dude caught a really nice, I like doing that. And every time I get on there, I start to go through and that stinking question pops into my mind. Oh man, is the early church's faith more important than your faith right now, Jason? I'm like, oh, can't I just... What if it's a biblical Facebook post? Does that count? No, it doesn't. So I've been struggling, but you know what? Through that struggle, it has changed my prayer time. It has changed how I'm praying. I love in my prayer time to just exalt God. Man, I'm just going to exalt you. And I love praying for other people, right? Tim and Melissa Kern and Hope, man, I've been praying for them since two nights ago and this morning. I love praying for that. But what I'm not very good at is asking God for things for myself. And it's like God saying, but if it's my will and you ask, then my will be done. So stop being a knucklehead and start Start praying for the thing. So, man, I started praying, man, God, it's for young people. Man, it's for 20-year-olds. Man, I heart for them. They're being pulled. Their extension spans, this everything of the cares of the world that's trying to pull them out. And for young families, man, there's so many hard things that young families are facing right now. Man, if you're married, it's hard. If you're a young parent, it's hard. And I'm praying, God, bring them in because we've got so many incredible grandparent age. And remember, grandparent age could be in the 40s, so I don't want to offend anybody. Grandparents here at this church that could just grab on and love these young couples and say, you two need a date night. Bring their wild kids over to my house and we'll fill them full of candy and we'll send them home with a kitten and everybody. You guys go enjoy. You guys go enjoy and work on yourself together. There's so much. So God's saying, pray for that. Pray for, because that's my will. I've been waiting for you to pray that. And ask that because I want to do that, but I need you to get to the point to do that, to prepare you, to get you ready for that. I'm telling you, this week, it's been a crazy week of hard and good and feeling the presence of God in ways that are so intense that it's like I'm about to drive off the road. Jesus, take the wheel, seriously, because you're dropping on me right now, and it's crazy, and I just exalt Him, and I pray, and I just can't stop praying. I'm looking for the awe of God every single day, every single hour. I'm wanting to devote myself even more. I want my self-discipline to say, listen to what I have for you. Pray what I want you to pray. Speak what I want you to speak. So it's been an up and down week of man, this is hard, but God, you're so good. Man, this is challenging, but God, you are so beautiful. Man, I'm kind of thinking bad of myself in this spot. And the Holy Spirit saying, but you don't have to. Let me equip you. Let me anoint you. Let me take you to where you need to be. And I just got to surrender. And say, okay, Jesus, I'm a willing vessel. Give me these hard messages. I'll take a message like this any day over a feel-good message because this kind of message invokes change within my own life. In your Bibles, if you got them, flip over to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Worship team, if you guys could quietly come up. Philippians chapter 2, 1 and 2, it says this, therefore, if there is any encouragement and comfort in Christ, as there certainly is in abundance, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship that we share in the Spirit, if there is any great depth of affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, having the same love toward one another, knitting together in spirit, intent on one purpose, and living a life that reflects your faith and spreads the gospel, the good news regarding salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. How many people can say amen to that? But once again, we come to a point of reflection, of decision, and of response. Will you guys pull those lights down? I have to pose this question again. For those in the early church, was their faith more important to them than my faith is to me? I want you to personally ask yourself that question. We're going to go into a song. And I'm going to invite anybody who wants to challenge themselves with this question to join me at the altar. Beth said earlier today, wow, the Holy Spirit is so strong up here. It's like you walk into it. I don't know why. I don't know why He chooses to do that. But I'm not going to forsake that. I'm going to bask in it. I'm going to ask the hard questions. So as we sing these last couple songs, I'm asking you, will you join me at the altar today and ask yourself the honest question about your devotion and your discipline? Ask yourself where your awe factor is. ask yourself where your desire to truly chase after Jesus and to connect with the body of Christ, where that actually is. Father, Lord God, help us to have the courage and the openness to ask such a question. Lord God, if there's those here today that are apart from you, man, maybe they've never taken that step towards you, Lord, I know you will meet them at the altar. And Lord, if there's those that have been apart from you for a while, Lord God, I know you will meet them at the altar. And Lord, if there are those that, like me, that just need to question our devotion and our discipline, Lord God, I know you will meet us today at the altar. So Lord, let your will be done this morning. Whatever it takes, Lord God, within me, whatever you need to do to get my attention, I give you permission to do that. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. As I'm praying, I hear myself praying, is my faith that of the early church? And as I'm praying, I'm saying, man, if our body, if this body of believers will take steps prompted by the Holy Spirit involving Jesus Christ himself to strengthen our faith to that of the early church, we're unstoppable. We are unstoppable. We will begin to see those things that the early church saw. And some people can come back and say, but the early church, they had Jesus. They knew Jesus, and the apostles were there, and they were learning from the actual apostles, and the teachings of Jesus were right there. And here we are 2,000 years removed from those things. But I'm here to tell you what, that Jesus is the living Christ. We are not removed from him anymore than any time in history. We have the same availability to Jesus as the early church did by way of the Spirit of Jesus, and that's the Holy Spirit. How wonderful and beautiful is that? So please continue to grow deeper in your faith. Commit to your devotion and your self-discipline. And let's begin to be the church that God desires us to be. Amen? And by the way, why don't we get loud?
Okay.
Let's get loud.
Good boss. Let's do this.
This concludes today's message. We hope you can join us next Sunday for services beginning at 10 o'clock a.m. at Bridge Assembly, located at 725 Granite Avenue in Helena, Montana. For more information about Bridge Assembly, go to bridgehelena.com, and we hope you can join us next Sunday with Pastor Jason Metz.